Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel, which comes to us from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 10. And we're at a very critical turning point in Mark's whole Gospel here. Some of the words in this extract are the same words as we heard at the baptism of Jesus. "This is my Son, the Beloved, listen to him." And it's interesting that for the first 8 chapters, we've had Jesus saying this in chapter 1, or having it said in chapter 1, and then the developments of his spreading the kingdom since then. And now we have it again in chapter 9. And for the next 8 chapters, 9 to 16, we'll have the continuing story of Jesus ending up with his passion, death, and resurrection. So this is a midpoint in Mark's Gospel. It's like a turning point in his Gospel. If you like, the whole Gospel breaks evenly into two sections of 8 chapters. And here we have the beginning of the second 8 chapters in chapter 9. Again, there are similarities with the book of Exodus, chapter 34, when Moses went up the mountain. And there's various words that link us back to that event, words that are in Mark as and also in Exodus. And those words start off in the first verse we have here, the high mountain, and 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and went up a high mountain where they could be alone by themselves. So for six days, the cloud hung around the mount where Moses went up, Mount Sinai. There's also the fact that he's taken them away from people, away from the mission, away from distractions. This was a time when he wanted to be with them in prayer. And very often in Mark, we've heard already, he went off into the hills to pray by himself. But this time he took with him Peter and James and John. So very, very special, intimate moment with these three disciples. The high mountain is taken to be Mount Horeb, which would have been on the route south as they went from Galilee down to Jerusalem. And it's a fairly decent round sort of a mountain. It's not a jaggy, difficult mountain, but it's more like a big hill, like Slemish. And I said in the homily last Sunday, it was 500 feet high. It's more like 1,000 feet high. So quite high. So his clothes became dazzlingly white, whiter than any bleacher could make them. And again in Exodus, there's references to the face of Moses was shining when he spoke with God, and the glory of God was seen by Moses. And this is a privileged moment for the three disciples, that they see the glory of God, the power and the glory of Jesus. Power and the glory of God. And this experience is beyond any human experience, whiter than anything on earth that it had ever seen. Then you have these two figures in verse 4. Elijah appeared to them with Moses. So these two figures confirm that this is the Messiah. We're living in messianic times. The Messiah has come, because there were various prophecies and statements. Moses said there would be a prophet like him coming, and they were to listen to him. And Elijah was to come back at the time of the Messiah. So they were talking with Jesus. Interestingly, in Luke's Gospel, Luke tells us what they talked about. what was to come. But in Mark's gospel, we're not told what they talked about. There's no topic given. Then Peter spoke up. He spoke to Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "it is wonderful for us to be here." And those words could be repeated in all sorts of different contexts. The privilege of the moment and the joy of the moment, you can see it in those words. "It is wonderful for us to be here." And he wanted to capture the moment. He wanted to make it last forever. "So let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. That wee phrase tells a lot. He didn't know what to say. It wasn't that he was afraid but he was just full of awe in the presence of the glory of God. And you'd be lost for words. It wouldn't be fear that would leave you tongue-tied. Just words couldn't express what he wanted to say. He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. And a cloud came, covering them in shadow. And there came a voice from the cloud. And this is the reference to baptism, the voice coming from heaven. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." So that's what this is all about. Jesus had been confirmed by the presence of Moses and Elijah, confirmed by the voice from the cloud. "This is my son. This is the Son of God." The presence of a cloud in the Bible is a very frequent symbol of the presence of God. When the chosen people were going through the desert, they were led by a cloud during the day and a fire during the night. So this is the presence of God. And this presence of God speaks and says, "This is my Son." So it's almost like, in one sense, the end of these first eight chapters, that there's a kind of a resurrection story, kind of a showing of the power of Jesus that motivates them through what's going to happen in the next eight chapters. And the rejection of Jesus, the passion, the awful crucifixion and his death, until he rises again at the end of Mark's gospel. So then suddenly, Mark's favourite word, suddenly, they looked around and they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. So this event came, left them as quickly as it came. So the final two verses then, as they came down the mountain, he warned them to tell no one what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So again, this event looks forward to the end of Jesus' life, which isn't his death, it's his resurrection. And they observed this warning faithfully, although they themselves discussed what rising from the dead could mean. Of course, we know what it means, and we're watching this and reading it as people who understand. But Mark writes this in a way that conveys to us that the disciples had to figure this out, that Peter especially, with his impulses, had to overcome making mistakes, jump into conclusions, and he had to grow an understanding of what this meant. Of course, Mark is writing a lot of this from the recollections of Peter, and he's also writing it for his community, who are also growing in faith, like ourselves, trying to understand and value what Jesus has done and said. So it's a great adventure we're on. And some points for consideration now. When have I really felt spontaneously and deeply, "It is good to be here"? Was this moment of grace also a confirmation of yourself in some way? And a second one, listening and being listened to are necessary but perhaps all too rare human experiences. What have I learned about listening, which helps me to listen to him? Listen to Jesus. That's what the voice said. This is my son. Listen to him. So what have I learned about listening that helps me to listen to Jesus? And here's a prayer to finish. Revealer God, you open your heart to us in your Son Jesus. Help us to open our hearts to you as we contemplate your living word. May the scriptures be for us a place of true encounter. And may we, hearers of the word, listen with our hearts and lives to him, the word made flesh. God bless you, and God bless your time together as you consider the word of God.